Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sense. I can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Welcome, everybody. And I got a question for you, and I can totally relate to this. Are you overwhelmed? I get overwhelmed a lot because there's so many things going on between, you know, podcasts and emails and videos and courses and all this other stuff. And I get crazily overwhelmed. But I've got an expert that's going to help us kind of bring us back to a moment of zen, right? And Kathleen Bloom, how are you doing today?
Good, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Now, when I first read your bio on your book, I looked at it and I said, oh, she's into law and meditation. No wonder why she can bring us back to a moment of zen. But I got that wrong, didn't I?
Yeah, it's law and mediation.
So how did
there's very little zen about the law.
Amen for that. So how did you go from a lawyer and doing mediation to writing a book about eating elephants?
Well, I guess I'm kind of a slow learner, and it took me 25 years to realize that practicing law and litigating was no way to resolve disputes. I mean, bashing each other around a courtroom and being antagonistic and hostile all the time is just not a good way to live. So that led me to mediation, which is a much more sane way to resolve disputes. You sit down, you can control your destiny, control the outcome. You're not dependent upon people that you don't even know, who don't know anything about you other than what's presented at trial. So I really liked doing mediation. I did that for about 10 years, and I still do an occasional mediation. But what I started to discover as I was doing the couple of hundred mediations that I've done is that all conflict, whether it's conflict in the Middle East or whether it's conflict over the neighbor's barking dog, all conflict starts from how we see ourselves and how we see ourselves in the world. And that was a eureka moment for me because I realized that we have a lot more power to change our lives than we think we do. We aren't trapped. Even if we feel stuck, we feel trapped, we feel like there's no way out. We are a victim of circumstances. And I, who have an anti-victim personality, I'm a fighter, not a victim, didn't want to accept that. So I think there's a way to change. So the first thing I looked at is, well, what makes us this way? And I just looked at myself. I looked in the mirror, and I am overwhelmed all the time. And so I decided to start there and talk, you know, explore the whole concept of overwhelm, what causes it, how do we fix it, what are strategies to get through it, those kinds of things.
Very cool. So, look, I get hungry every once in a while. I had a bagel for breakfast, but I'm very rarely hungry enough to eat an elephant. So what's that all about?
Well, the title comes from a kid's joke, and the joke, which when I was in first grade, I thought was absolutely hilarious, and I remember it to this day many, many, many decades later. And that is, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is one bite at a time. And my daughter is a senior strategist with the Department of Defense, and we were chatting one day, and I said something about eat the elephant, and she looked at me and she said, how do you know that? That's a military thing. And I said, no, it's not. It's a kid's joke. And she said, oh, she said, the military, when they look at problems, they talk about eating the elephant as well. So I thought, well, it has more universal appeal than I initially thought it did. And the way to combat overwhelm most effectively, in my mind, is to just chunk things up and do them one thing at a time. So that's where the title came from.
Cool. So you and me both being children of the 60s, back in our hippie days, right? Remember when life was like all peace and zen and nice and easy and everything and all this love? And now it is like, oh my God, there's so much things going on. As a matter of fact, I heard a study that said that if you think it's bad now with all the communications and stuff, within 5 years, it's going to multiply times six. you know, all the messaging and all the beeps, bops, booms, all that kind of stuff. So how did we get so overwhelmed? Where did this start?
Well, I think it probably started in prehistoric days, but I'm old, but I'm not that old, so I can't go back quite that far. neuroscience shows that we get between 3,000 and 5,000, that's 1,000, messages a day. 3,000 to 5,000 things jockeying for our attention, vying for our attention. Notice me, buy this, go there, do this. And if you do the math, and I don't do math, frankly, but if you do the math and you divide, you know, 24 hours into 5,000, you get a lot. I don't know what it is, but it's a lot. So with all of those messages bombarding us, we don't have time to take a breath. We don't have time to sit back and reflect and say, oh, now what is it that I want to do? One of the biggest, I think, problems is the email box. Email is a way to make somebody else's problem your problem. And while I wouldn't give up my email for anything, email is one of the things that has to be managed rather than it managing you. Just as an example, social media is another one.
And that's huge. So what are some of the main causes that are creating all this overwhelm in our lives? Because trust me, I mean, I get it. I mean, between, you know, my family, my business, the volunteer things that I do, the demands in email and social media, you know, it can become just mind numbing.
Well, it can. And when your mind is numb, that's when you really become overwhelmed. You don't know which way to turn. So with that inundation of information, it's very difficult for our brains to sort it out. Your brain can hold 5 to 7 pieces of information at one time, which doesn't sound like much. The trouble is when you have too much stuff going on, when you are overwhelmed, when you're getting all these messages, your brain bounces back and forth and back and forth and back and forth between all of the things vying for your attention, and you really can't get a handle on anything. Then you start getting frustrated because you've lost your direction. And you've lost your compass. So that really is the reason we get overwhelmed. The next thing is, what can we do about it, or what causes specific instances of overwhelm, specific kinds of overwhelm? Because there are several. It's not just people say, oh, I'm overwhelmed, but that has a lot of different subparts. And in the book, I try to explain what some of those subparts are, and hopefully you'll be able to see yourselves in one or more of those.
Yeah, and I love that. I mean, that's some great, great stuff. So what are some of the main causes? I mean, I'm looking through your book. I mean, I saw this list that overwhelmed me. It was a lot. What are some of the main causes of overwhelm?
Well, I think that part of it are historical, how we were raised. For example, if you're a procrastinator or if you're a perfectionist, those can contribute mightily to overwhelm. Some people have almost an addiction to being busy. And busyness is a big part of overwhelm because you're busy all the time. The trouble is that you're busy, but you're not necessarily productive. You're doing things, but you're not necessarily getting things done. You often become a human doing instead of a human being. And sometimes busyness can be, I said earlier, an addiction, because being busy prevents you or doesn't give you the time to examine other things in your life that may be impediments to your doing what you want to do or being who you want to be. So, for example, if you are always busy, there's no time for reflection. There's no time to sit down and say, what do I want to accomplish today? What are the 3 things, and I recommend no more than 3 things per day, that you want to get done? Now, some of them can have subparts, but it's 3 things. You can't do 35 things in a day. It's just impossible. And if you expect that of yourself, you're going to be disappointed, you're going to fail, and your self-esteem is going to take a huge hit because it just can't be done. So what I try to do is help people see that there is nothing wrong with only doing what is humanly possible to do.
You said a couple of things that really sparked me. Human doing versus human being. I love that. The other thing is a quote from your book. It says, and this is from Albert Einstein, if you want to live a happy life, tie it to a goal, not to people or things. And that, I think, is just fabulous. I think that's really the key thing. And then saying that you can only do three things in a day. I am Mr. 35 because I want to accomplish so much. I want to kind of get the most out of every day. And I guess I'm overstretching my own bounds.
But I don't want people to think that you can only do three things in a day. That and if I gave that impression, I misspoke. What I mean is, on your to-do list, you should only have three things. If you do other things, if you have time, if you finish the three that you have to get done or that you want to get done for that day, and there's time left, then do other things. But putting 35 things on your to-do list in a day, my God, sitting there looking at the list, you get overwhelmed.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so it's not that you can only do three. It's that you should plan to do three, and anything else is gravy.
Oh, I love the bonus concept. So where do we start? Where's the best place to start to help ourselves get un-overwhelmed?
Well, where I start in the book is to do a brain dump. And there are a lot of brain dumps in the book, because if the stuff is out of your head and on paper, then you have room to do, your brain has room to create. And this is something that I think is so very important. The brain is a creative device. It is not a storage device. The purpose of the brain is to think and to create, not to be a file cabinet. And so if you have all of these things, and I am guilty of this. I mean, I am certainly not preaching, because I am guilty of this every damn day. And every day I have to remind myself, write it down. Just put it on a list. Just put it somewhere else so it's not rolling around in my head. But you've got to be able to think, and you've got to be able to create, and that's what the brain is for. So if you're going to have your brain clogged up with crap, so to speak, then it's not going to be able to do what it's supposed to do. And that's really where we blossom and grow as human beings. So if you're in a position where you feel that you have all these things going around in your head, then do a brain dump. And just sit down and write everything that you have to do, every single infinitesimal, stinking, nasty, lousy thing that you think you have to do, by the way, and that's a whole other issue, is what you have to do versus what you think you have to do. Write it down on a piece of paper. Just write it down. Get it out of your head. And then you can look at your list, and there this exercise, I'm giving you just a brief synopsis of it. It's longer and more involved in the book. But then you prioritize. You look at it and you say, or first you group things together. You group all of the, for example, the domestic diva duties, as I call them. Group all them together. Group the work things together. Group the fun things together. Because, believe it or not, you have to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
All work and no play is... The reason sayings are old sayings is because they're true. And all work and no play makes John a dull boy is pretty true. So write down everything that's on your list and then prioritize it. What really needs to get done? And you can use the Stephen Covey grid method if that helps, if you're familiar with that. Anything like that. I mean, I certainly have not cornered the market on the way to help you, give you strategies to help overcome overwhelm. There are a lot of things out there, and you've got to figure out what works for you. I give several different ones in the book so that people can choose, because I know that people are not all alike. I mean, what works for me may not work for you. People learn differently. Some people are better at auditory learners. Some are better written. Some are better experiential learners. So, you know, there's no right way, and I think that that's also an aspect of overwhelm that people, they always want to do things the right way. And sometimes the right way is the right way for you, not necessarily the right way for your neighbor. And that's important to recognize as well.
Awesome. So Carolyn, you have a system that's going to help people kind of deal with their overwhelm. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I have a group coaching system where there are four modules. And you can do it at your own pace. There are two group live group calls, question and answer calls, and we will take you through how to get over overwhelm. It's expands a little bit of what's in the book and gives extra exercises and things like that. So there are also on my website, there are a lot of resources, there are articles and other things that have appeared in the media or whatever that might be of interest to people who feel that they have an issue with overwhelm.
Carolyn, this has been great. And now I could check something off my list. I feel less overwhelmed just talking to you. It's been fabulous. Can you let people know if they wanted to get a hold of you? What's the best way for them to do that?
Sure. The best way to do it is to go to my website, carolynbloom.com, and there's a Contact Us tab. Just shoot me an email. You can also contact me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Pinterest. I do my best to respond to all emails. I also have a blog. You can sign up for the newsletter, and I have a weekly blog that comes out on issues not necessarily to do with overwhelm exclusively, but to do with all kinds of personal development issues.
Awesome. And for those on their iPods or iPhones or whatever it is, it's Carolyn, K-A-R-O-L-Y-N, Bloom, B-L-U-M-E.com. Is that correct?
That's right.
Awesome. Hey, Carolyn, thanks again so much for joining us. I enjoyed it. I know my audience is going to get stuff out of this. There's so many great nuggets and tips in this that I think it's really going to help people eat their elephant. And that's the goal. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Brian. I enjoyed it. Take care.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.